So I hope you like that meditation. You're welcome to have it. It's for free. A little bonus comes along with the talk. And it also relates a little bit to things we'll explore in the talk tonight. So the theme of the talk, is the sound coming out okay? It's kind of sounds weird to me. It's good, yeah. Is about a aspect of the teachings. It's a Pali word called Vedana. And some of you will know this word. And those of you who know this word might think, oh, really? And it's actually a really, really good teaching. It's a really, really helpful thing to know. It relates to something that we normally don't notice about our experience. So that's a really good thing to bring to mind. Like something we normally don't notice. It's too subtle, it's too quick. But its impact is not subtle, it's massive. And so what we can do with that is enormous. Like it opens out an enormous realm of possibilities of different ways of living. What essentially it means is that any time you make contact with the world, internally, externally, a thought, a feeling, a sensation, a sound, an itch, it will be identified as, this is going to be good, yeah, this is going to be pleasant, this is going to be enjoyable to have, right? Or it's going to be, oh, this isn't good, yeah, this is going to be hard to be with. This is unpleasant. Right? Or it will kind of just contact and say, nah, it doesn't matter. It's not particularly bad, it's not particularly good. You know, just ignore it. Yeah. And if we relate to those things, believing that that's really true, that's the real pleasant thing to have, I should grab it, I should keep it, I should sustain it, all of that. Or that's really a bad thing, I should fight it, I should run away from it, I should try and ignore it, pretend it's not there. You know, those things that we tend to do about experiences. And then this whole middle space between that, and we're just like, well, there's nothing there. It's just boring. Well, it's uneventful. It's not interesting. It's not worth paying attention to. And it's interesting, like all the kind of things that end up in that middle camp. Yeah. Things like, I can see. I can hear. I'm alive once again. You know, trees make leaves. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Just ignore it. You know. I can suck, and then I somehow turn that into life. It's breath. Yeah. It's neutral, very neutral experience. Don't pay any attention to it. Yeah. So we don't notice that this thing is happening. It's a level of reactivity. Right? Good, bad. Like constantly writing its Amazon reviews of every single thing that turns up. Highly recommend. You know, and seeing more about that is going to be really helpful. But let's kind of just take a step back. Let's work our way back up here, right? Because that can sound a little bit theoretical. So, we have this meta thread going on in the afternoons, right? Hopefully that's touching some of us some of the time. Because, oh, that's a nice way of practicing. And then in the mornings, more or less, like what we've been doing is kind of playing around with the energetics, the kind of the bodily fabrication, opening that space, allowing ourselves to lengthen, to deepen quite a lot so far about soothing, about calming reactivity. Yeah. In a sense, and some of you will already know this, we can also kind of go the other way of kind of brightening and enlivening through the breath, through the way that we listen, utilize those qualities. What we're kind of doing, relates to Vedana, is we're moving our experience from being somewhat unpleasant to somewhat more pleasant. And kind of like tending to kind of adjust things to make them a little bit more easy to be with, a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more desirable in a certain sense. Yeah. So in a way, we're actually noticing something about life experiences. We tend to like the pleasant more than the unpleasant. Okay? And the way that we relate to our experience can make it more pleasant. A lot of the ways we habitually commonly and as a normal way of relating to it actually doesn't make it more pleasant. Right? And that's why this is a practice. Okay? And those typical ways of relating that don't make it so enjoyable for us are the kind of things that Zaha spoke about last night. Yeah, what we often call hindrances, obscurations, and all of that. Yeah. So we're kind of clear about where we're at this point. Yeah. Okay. I like to get you clear and then I can confuse you myself. I feel like, okay, I made that confusion. That was me. So, through the day, we might typically think, okay, sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's less pleasant. We're kind of working and moving our way through this experience. And at first, it seems like, you know, that's just happening from its own side. Right? That's just how existence is. But really, it's actually dependently arising. It's coming into being dependent on a lot our way of relating to it, right? And our, yeah, the volume? Let me see if I, oh, yeah, that's a big difference. Yeah, I thought I couldn't hear myself before. Okay. I don't know what that means, if there's a loose connection or really it's just if I don't do it. Yeah, no, it was me. I think it was me. The error was just here, not anywhere else. So it can feel like it's just coming its own way, but it's actually arising dependent on the way that we're relating to it. And the way that we're relating to it is often related to just our mood, you know, our mind state that's coming up. And here we're actually being more creative and we're just saying, well, let's just try it that way. Yeah? Even if I don't really feel like I want to have this, what if I open the spaciousness, the intimacy, the calming? What if I bring in an attitude of friendliness through that metta way? Right? And so what we get to see is that we're actually able to adjust the ways that we relate, able to reduce the amount of unpleasantness in our experience, able to regulate our experience towards more pleasance, more ease. And already and over time, what we also want to be doing is training ourselves to be able to sustain attention with things when they are pleasant as well, right? So that we can actually take those things that are delightful, like sometimes you know, we get some sweet experiences. Also, are there ways of paying attention to that that are creative, supportive, spacious, intimate, all of those things that we've been bringing towards the less pleasant experiences, also in ways that are nourishing, ways that can support appreciation, right? Because too often we might hear these teachings, and maybe it's there in these teachings, and it's not just the way that we're listening to them, maybe they're really there, and they say, you know, don't get attached to pleasant things. Yeah. Don't grasp onto these pleasant things. Don't be greedy about pleasant things. And in a way, that starts to sound like, well, just ignore them. Just pretend that it's not happening. You're like, oh, I feel really good. But just don't get attached. Don't enjoy it, don't make contact with it, that kind of thing. Eh? It's kind of like too far, right? It's like, why don't you just cultivate this? You know, so I've just made this. You're like, yeah, but you know, don't get attached. Don't eat the good food. Like, don't enjoy it. Don't say it tastes really delicious. Don't do all that kind of thing because that's dukkha, right? But so is ignoring it, right? We talked about that middle Vedana, yeah. That ignoring of it, that devaluing of it, that saying it's boring, that saying I don't want to engage with that. That's just giving up, that's denying that quality, that element, yeah? So we should appreciate the delightful, we should enjoy the joyful in life, right? Ah. So, Vedana is, in a sense, going to be offering us a new way of looking at our experience and then new ways of relating to our experience by noticing it. Okay, so I was saying, like, very initially, we don't notice that it's happening. And I think that even when a lot of people hear this teaching, the first thought is, yeah, so what? So what that we categorize our experiences into, you know, that's going to be good, that's not going to be good, that's nice, that's not nice, that's pleasant, that's unpleasant, that's neither nor. But yeah, so what, that happens. Or your reaction is, no, it doesn't happen like that. There's no, like, three buckets of whatever, and there's only three ways I relate to things. So the first point, the so what, I think it's going to make more sense once we get all the way through. And the second is, yeah, you're right, there's a lot more variability within that camp. But it can be really helpful just to notice, am I grabbing on? Am I pushing away? Am I overlooking? Because that's what tends to lead out from that pattern of behavior. So I think the last thing I want to say in reference to our practice kind of so far is that all the practices that we're doing are dependent on and revealing, they're dependent on an understanding that our experience is conditioned. And the thing here that we particularly want to pay attention to, how we're conditioning, is what we're bringing forwards. How spacious, how sensitive, how kind, how delicate is our attention really shapes what comes through. Okay, so I hope that we can kind of see that, and it's kind of, it's the basis of the teaching and practices, and it's also, you know, the outcome, the fruit of seeing this. And Vedana is part of that same dance, that same unfolding of experience. The kind of conditioning principle. All dukkha is conditioned and can be reconditioned, decommissioned, however you want to kind of put it. Yeah. And particularly here, remove through the way of relating. And we can do that through the bodily fabrication of soothing, easing tension, relaxing. We can do that through the metta attitude, like an attitude of kindness. It's a really radically different way. Cultivating kindness when it isn't there. Experiencing kindness from the ways that we relate. And so that experience is conditioned, is the center of this whole practice. Did you want some masav? No? No, okay. And it's an insight. So maybe, actually, first, like, what's an insight? Maybe we'll just unpack that a little bit. Yeah, so tovana, so what's a tovana, right? And what does it really mean to have such a thing, right? So it's two things, two kind of knowings, two bits of elements of experience. One is, it's kind of a knowledge thing. It's an understanding something about existence, that it is conditioned. That's insightful and it's liberating, yeah? So it's insightful, it's liberating, because we've understood something that we didn't understand before. But understanding something before actually then gives us a range of activities that have now come into play, right? It's like, oh, there's this way, and we call it reactivity, and there's this way, which is more responsive, more liberating, more kind, right? So it's freeing in the way that we enact it. It's freeing in the way that we see differently, yeah? So it's freeing because we understand more. And understanding is really useful, but really useful when we bring it into being and I actually see that way. So as an example of, like, an insight that we might have, which is, when I'm kind to things, it feels good. You know, it's kind of like an insight that we could have. And then it'd be great, just keep that, like, I don't know, like a book on your shelf that you never read, or herbs in your cupboard that you never get out. So how freeing is that, to have that book there? You know, one day I'll read it. It's not that freeing, but here it is. I'm reading it, applying it, bringing it into my life. I'm sprinkling that spice of metta into relationships which are really lacking in it, and finding out what that can do. I'm bringing it towards myself and realizing there are ways that I'm just so commonly harsh and unkind to myself, and then that's really liberating, right? So insights are to be lived. And Vedana is both. It's both a principle of experience, something to understand. Oh, there's going to be a Vedana here. There's a Vedana about this talk. There's a Vedana about the way your body feels. Yeah. There's a Vedana about all kinds of things going on. Yeah. The temperature has a Vedana to it. And it will seem to us as if the Vedana exists in the thing. Okay? This is the fullness of the insight here. It will seem as if this thing turned up with its own Vedana. Yeah? Wearing its own Vedana. And I'm just noticing it. And everyone surely agrees it is too hot in here. The temperature is an unpleasant Vedana. And then there's somebody sitting there smiling and saying, oh, finally, somewhere where you can just sweat freely. You know. The Vedana is personal. It's according to me. It's about me. It says so much more about me than it does about the thing. Yeah? It's conditioned. Conditioned by the heart and the mind. Now, that may or may not initially seem freeing, right? But it's not the thing then we need to change. It's the way we see it. So the insight is it's an understanding, yeah? Something that brings freedom. It brings freedom from reactivity. How? How is seeing this Vedana going to make any difference to me? It's too hot here. I don't like it. I don't want it like this. It's too noisy here. There's too many flies. Whatever it is. And it seems like a fact from its own side. Yeah. And someone just needs to fix it. And my mind has gone into fixing it. I've invented a screen door that also makes the place cooler. Or whatever it is. You know, just need to finish the design. Probably give me a couple more days. Almost got it perfect. And then, you know, then things will be perfect. Until I find the next problem and I go into fixing that one. So we know that this is the pattern of behavior that happens for us. And interestingly, Vedana is going to solve everything. Understanding Vedana, understanding our reactivity. So what happened in that meditation just before, right? When we purposefully chose, as a game, for a short period of time, not to follow normal patterns of reactivity. Yeah. Now, all kinds of things could have happened for you. For some of us, it might have just been completely horrible, right? Completely allowing for that, and that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. Could just been a really tough time to do it. It could have been that we noticed something turn up, we noticed that we've declared it to be unpleasant, and then we started to question, oh, actually, is this unpleasant? Really? Or we just took a later kind of step in it. It's like we did believe it was unpleasant, but we decided not to react to it. Right? There's kind of a freedom there. There's kind of like two levels of freedom that's kind of bringing into question how we relate to this, how we react to this. So in a sense, either way, we could say opens possibilities. And this, for me, is a very good kind of definition of what dukkha is. So dukkha is the experience of having very limited possibilities. Yeah, that felt sense of having very little possibilities. This turns up and I've just got to do that. Nothing I can do. It's too much. Yeah, or it's too little. Right? You know, what can you do? It's like this. Just got to accept that sometimes it's dukkha. But that's not what the teachings say. Yeah? What they say is the way that you relate to it is having an impact. Yeah? And I think that what Don't Scratch the Itch meditation can kind of show us is actually there are different ways. It usually happens this way. Reactivity. Push, pull, demand. But it doesn't need to. We can allow. We can welcome. We can soften, we can lighten in relationship to things, and that starts to change it, yeah? You know, and really, no, not joking about this, but once you start to see that, you actually realize that the Vedana depended on you enacting it. Yeah. For this really to be the unpleasantness it says it was, it actually needs me to engage with a certain amount of reactivity there. And when that starts to soften, it starts to become less unpleasant. Might even become neutral, ignorable. Or it might even become pleasant, worth grabbing onto and keeping, or, you know, allowing, appreciating, supporting in those ways, yeah, the more beautiful ways. So the experience itself does not have a Vedana. Its Vedana depends on how you relate to it. Yeah, this experience. Does that make sense? So it turns up, declares it to be one thing, and then you start relating to it in different ways, and it can actually become something else. An itch can become peaceful, an itch can become delightful. Yeah, all of these things open out and possible for us. And we can't exactly define why and when and exactly, because there's many conditions. It's not only conditioned by your way of relating. Yeah? It's also conditioned by that. So say a few more things about this, because I think it can still be unpacked just a little bit more clearly. If you take something that's really nice, like this evening we had a really nice soup, we've had some really nice food on this retreat, and really deep gratitude to all those in the kitchen making this possible for us, giving us a lot of pleasant Vedanas. We're really having to deal with our attachment. You may have had to deal with the desire to have more of something, you know, but actually this food's so wholesome, you can actually feel very well fulfilled from, you know, moderate portions. But it may happen to you at some point where you think, wow, I suddenly discovered, you know, rice cake, peanut butter, jam. Wow, that's really good. Like, I'm going to have a double-decker thing. So I can go back for more. The second one isn't as pleasant as the first one. Almost always. Isn't that almost always the case? It's like, it was pleasant. The same ingredients, same materials, but when you go back, they obviously cheaped out. They changed the ingredients. It wasn't the same. You get it. Doesn't taste of anything. And in fact, it tastes of disappointment and a little bit of shame. I think I taste a little bit of embarrassment in there that I think people saw quite how quickly I walked up to the table to get it. So the Vedana is not in the thing, yeah? It's not in the thing because it changes. What changes is us, yeah? So we can't sustain it independently. We don't believe it, okay? So step number one in Vedana practice, a Vedana appears, we notice it, and we decide, ah, I'm not so sure. A Vedana is not a fact about something, it's an opinion. It's the current opinion about this thing. And if you've got a good heart and mind, you don't believe your friend's opinions about things, yeah? And you also don't believe your own opinions about things. You don't believe that they're facts. No, you don't believe that they're independent things to say about it. Firstly, we tend not to notice that Vedana is even happening. Right, we don't even notice that this has been added on. We just think, oh, that's the whole package. Rice cake, peanut butter, jam, pleasant. Yes, get more of it. And away we go. We don't recognize that we have the freedom to follow it or not. We don't notice that it's happening. We don't notice that we have the freedom to believe it. We don't notice that we have the freedom not to follow it. And we really want to see that we're just going to take this deeper and deeper and deeper into this, of just kind of being less certain about this Vedana, less believing of its demands on what we have to do. And maybe, over time, we'll even be able to just flip it from one thing to the other. That really we can sit in a room that's too hot, too sweaty, too hasn't got anything but exhalations left in it. Yeah, all the inhalations have gone. And then we can just say, actually, this is really nice. It's really nice to be here, sucking the last little bits of oxygen out of the carbon dioxide space that we're all in here together. This is the kind of space I like to be in. Yeah. And we can start to see it that way, because our practice has really revealed to us this is way, way, way more playful, way, way, way more flexible than I first thought it was. And that starts to develop really deep well-being within me. I've learned how to be happy in places that my evolution, let's say, has kind of declared to me, have nothing to offer. Don't be here. Get out of here. It's no good here. It's too hot, too flyy, too airless, too crowded, too whatever. It's like, no. Don't believe you. Let me just check. No, it's okay. It really is okay. We start to change the way that it's appearing, because it doesn't appear from its own side. Don't take it at Vedana face value, we say. You know, don't take it at face value, first impressions. Start to question it, start to dive in. So we have these three Vedanas, one of which is called Sukha. And the projection is, this will be happiness making, this will be pleasant, this will be nice. We have another one, it's called Dukkha. This will be hard to bear, this will be unpleasant, this will be not nice. And we have this middle space, and it's Asukha, Adukkha. Not happiness making, not trouble making, not hard to bear. You don't need to worry about it, ignore it. And when it's pleasant, when we're not really tuned in, it will lead to very common reactions, yeah, of grabbing onto, grasping onto, seeking out, pursuing, figuring out how to get more of this, yeah, obsessing over it, planning, yeah, what we might commonly call the whole kind of greed movement in those hindrances. Yeah, it's dukkha in the movement, and it's dukkha making, building. But like so I said yesterday, also, it's a gift. It's like, to see that. It means that I've believed a Vedana. I don't need to do that. Maybe it's not that. And the other side, you know, when it seems to be pleasant, seems to be happiness-making, seems to be unpleasant, seems to be unhappiness-making, seems to be hard to bear, then we start to reject it, you know, to fight against it. Or if it's like it's broken, we try and fix it, you know, make it okay, try to run away from it, try to hide away from it, or we try and ignore it, pretend that it's not happening. Yeah, all of that kind of aversion side of the hindrance experience. And when we notice that gift that gives us, so I've believed that something is unpleasant from its own side. It's probably not. It's probably not if I don't relate to it that way. And the same thing, it's neither nor, it's not anything much. Yeah? We actually disregard that. All the things that we're disregarding, I think maybe made up statistic, maybe 95% of everything that we could see, sense, smell, know in any way, is probably getting put into that bucket. And then the remaining 5% is probably like 4% is the negative things, the unpleasant stuff, and then maybe like 1% of our experiences is okay, good enough, pleasant, yeah. So all of this area that we're underappreciating, massive area that we're devaluing, we're not getting into, parts that we're not paying attention to, it's wasted opportunity. Of life revealing itself this way. Yeah, flowers that are going unsmelled. Yeah, dogs that are going unstroked. You know, grass that we're not really feeling and saying, isn't it amazing how grass can just bounce back? And all those kind of elements of our life that we're not appreciating, not tuning into. So what can we do with this framework, right? It's really endless. But we could just take this and say, okay, so there are these three types of experience a human being has, just very broadly, three types. Am I actually experiencing all three? Because they're probably all here. Is there something pleasant here that I'm not paying attention to? Being in community. Being allowed to be myself here. Yeah. That the next breath came. That I can soothe, I can relax myself. I can love myself a little bit or a lot. Yeah. Is there something neutral here that I'm not really noticing, engaging with? Some part of the body that doesn't call out for attention because it's not particularly painful? Can I give my attention there? Like this little bit behind the back of the arm or something, or the earlobes. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Feel the sensation of the earlobes or whatever it is. Yeah, give your attention there. So this Vedana opens out a way of relating to your experience, noticing the unnoticed, right? Not just noticing the most loud, the most prominent of experience. Another way that this is a really helpful practice is it actually gives us a handhold when things are really challenging. So when things are really built up and they feel complex and we don't know what to do, and it's like, how do I deal with this? My mind is going crazy and I feel like I don't know how to relate to any of this. It all feels too chaotic. I can just say to myself, this is unpleasant. This is unpleasant. That's what's happening. And we call that staying at contact with Vedana. So this is unpleasant. And in that moment, when we notice that, it gives us like a way to hold this experience and understand that being unpleasant, I'm going to try and reject this, escape it, hide from it, ignore it, all of that. But I don't have to. Just for this, I'm just going to say, this is hard to bear. This is dukkha. This is difficult. Keep breathing. Keep living. Another mode that we can use for this Vedana practice, this is a really, really nice one, is actually gives us a chance to notice how it really feels right now, in this body, in this heart, in this mind. Actually, how is it here? How is it to be you in this moment? Gives us that way to ask that question. We might notice, kind of neither nor, or actually, now you ask, it's kind of pleasant. Yeah. And we might not notice that because it doesn't necessarily grab the attention so much. Yeah. Or like body feels okay, or body doesn't feel okay, but mind feels okay, heart feels okay, whatever it is. Yeah. And this is also really helpful when we have other people have this experience. You probably don't have this experience, but you know, like some people, their minds wander when they're meditating and they go off into fantasies and things like that, and then they remember, oops, I was meant to be doing metta with the breath, with the sounds, whatever it was, I was meant to be in my mindful practice. And these people, they sometimes think, but it's really nice, this thought, it's really nice. I just have a little bit more with the thought, then I'll come back. Or, you know, let me just finish that one because I remember how it ends. The next bit's really good. And we just kind of go off with that. And we can really question that at times. Right? Sometimes do it. Just enjoy yourself. Like, don't give yourself too hard a time. Yeah. Sorry, I know it's not you. I meant them. If they can do it sometimes and they can enjoy themselves. But, like, we could imagine that they might also sometimes just want to question, what actually is the Vedana of this experience, chasing after this dream fantasy thing? Is it actually better than soothing, easing, relaxing, arriving fully into a really nice breath, or opening with the fullness of our rich sensitivity in this moment to the sounds that are rising here? Or actually, even though there isn't a lot of metta flowing through, a lot of kindness, I'm going to grow it. I'm going to plant seeds. I'm going to work for it. And maybe there's going to be one tiny molecule of metta that wasn't there before. And that's my contribution. No, fantasy, definitely. It's fantasy every time, yeah. It's because it's really good. It's completely imaginary, but it's really, no, yeah. But we see and we ask and we're honest, and it's not a question of like, oh, I'm so stupid, I always follow my fantasies. It's just a really genuine question. Is that happiness making? Is it? Is it freedom? Is this what I took birth for? Is this why I showed up here? Is this why I continue? And then Vedana gives us that tool in which to investigate our experience. And of course, we mentioned it before, this also opens out different ways of relating to experience. Even if we say, this is pleasant, and sometimes our experience will be pleasant, we want more gears in our vehicle. You know, we want more tools in our toolbox than grabbing onto, gripping onto, owning, possessing. Or just don't get attached, don't deal with it, don't experience it. What is it like when we linger with something that's pleasant, that's wholesome and pleasant? That when we soothe and ease the state of mind, or when the alignment of the energies come through, can we appreciate that? Like we can appreciate kindness, like we can appreciate night blossoms of flowers. We can just stay with that. We can appreciate a sunset. Yeah. Maybe we can appreciate a breath this way. Maybe we can appreciate community this way. And this Vedana opens out the possibility. This is pleasant. What do we do with the pleasant? We stay with it, appreciate it, let it grow, let it fulfill us, let ourselves be touched, let ourselves get into this experience. Yeah. And if we find ourselves having an experience that seems neutral, it seems dull, it seems boring. Ah, oh, this is boring. It's that boring part of the meditation where it's not uncomfortable enough yet, but it's also not enjoyable or new enough yet, and I'm going into that dull bit, and it's the boring bit. Ah, oh, the boring bit. Still the boring bit. What's happening there? Apart from us saying that it's boring, what means that that isn't peaceful? Why is it not peaceful? Why are we not saying, oh, this is the peaceful bit. Oh, I love the peaceful bit. I love the calm bit. I love that. Just, oh, how wide is that calm bit? And we really just get into that, and we bring our attention in attunement to that. Yeah. Don't know if you remember, there was a Pet Shop Boys song. Must have been, I guess, the 90s, maybe, yeah, 90s. Like, we were never being bored because we were never being boring. And we just being boring about peace. Nothingness. Wow, nothingness has come. Can I get into that? Can I enjoy that? Can I linger with that? Can I discover what that is? Bring that interest into those kinds of experiences. This practice also opens out that. So, that's what I wanted to share about my belief that Vedana practice is quite pleasant, and see if I could convince you. Because tomorrow we'll open that out as another way of practicing. And when we open it out, we'll combine it still with a lot of this gathering, calming, and a lot of this metta and kindness qualities. But every so often, it might be helpful just to drop in that kind of inquiry, that insight, that deeper understanding that opens out different ways of living, meeting our experience. Okay, let's just not scratch the itch for a minute together to close. So thank you for your presence and participation in this talk, and for your presence and participation in this retreat. We'll have time for about half an hour of walking practice before coming back for the last sitting together of the day at 9.